Well, good morning once again. And today we are talking about heaven. So before we jump into this topic, I want to ask the question, what comes to mind when we think about heaven? Well, we might have I have a few pictures to help us consider what comes to mind. The first, you'll see some angels in heaven eating cream cheese. So thank you, Philadelphia cream cheese. Some of us may think when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. What about this next picture? We have two pictures. First one is, I think this is Disney, and the second is of The Simpsons. So maybe when we think of heaven, we think of, we have some ideas that were given to us by Disney, The Simpsons, maybe some other forms of media. Who knows? We might have all sorts of interesting ideas. This next picture is me. This is a bunny rabbit surrounded by thousands of fresh carrots. I often wonder, when I think of heaven, man, what is the food going to be like? What's the food going to be like? I'm excited about that. I don't know, maybe you think along the same ways, maybe not. I have one last picture to show you here. This is a picture of a woman with this line. I'm going to read this to you. She says, "I wonder if heaven is like being at Target by yourself with a Starbucks in hand with endless amounts of cash in your envelope." Perhaps we think of heaven as the ultimate day of what fun might look like on earth. Who knows? We all have all sorts of different ideas of what heaven might be like. And heaven makes for some very interesting conversation for sure. And in some ways, in many ways, a lot of speculation is done as well as to what heaven might look like. And that's all good and fun. No problem wondering what heaven might be like. That's fine. But at the end of the day, our understanding needs to be grounded and based in scripture of how we understand heaven. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to spend the majority of our time talking about what the Bible has to say about heaven, some facts about heaven, followed by a brief discussion as to how to get there. And so my message today is entitled Heaven and How to Get There. Let me just remind you the context we're in here. We're in a four-week gospel series that's ending today. The first message was on love. God is love, and God loves you more than you'll ever know or understand, and you're invited to put your faith in him because of his love. Next week, we talked about this whole concept of how God is truth. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And we were invited again to put our faith in Jesus on the basis of the fact that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Last week, we talked about hell, and we concluded that hell is a horrible, torturous place. In fact, we're all headed there because we all have sin in our lives. Sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God, and the only way to get out of hell is to accept God's escape plan, which is trusting in Jesus as our Lord, both our Lord and Savior. And today, we talk about heaven and how to get there. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for what your word says about heaven. We pray our discussion would challenge us in the way we live our lives today and the decisions we make regarding your kingdom. Lord, bless us as we hear from you today. Amen. So here's the structure. Again, number one, we're going to talk about the facts about heaven from the Bible. That's the largest chunk of where we're going to spend our time. And the second, we're going to talk about how to get to heaven. So let's talk about what the Bible says about heaven. Now, once again, like last week, I'm interacting with theologian Millard Erickson. He's going to help us organize our facts about heaven, interspersed with some other comments that I want to make. Now, you should know as well, for many of these facts, we could use multiple scripture references, but for the sake of time, I'm typically only going to use one. There are some exceptions. Some points are going to overlap a little bit, but that's okay because there is purpose in sharing every fact with you. First off, when we talk about heaven, we need to clarify what we're talking about because the Bible uses heaven in different ways. So let me talk about the different usages of heaven. The first is that occasionally heaven is used to describe the universe. One reference we have is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Number two, heaven's also described as, or sometimes used as a synonym for God. When the prodigal son returned to his father, he said in Luke 15:21, he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." Other passages might say, "I have sinned against God and you." So heaven is used as a synonymous word for God in some cases. Thirdly, heaven is referred to as the place where God dwells, and that's what we're focusing on today. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he started by praying in Matthew 6:9. He says, "Our Father in heaven." And so again, for our purposes, when we refer to heaven, we're talking about the actual place where God dwells. Okay, so let's move on to some facts about heaven. And I don't have these numbers. I'm just gonna spit them out as we go here. So the first fact is this: there are angels who dwell with God in heaven, and come and go from heaven and carry out God's will. Matthew 28:2 is the reference I want to work with. One of many references we could turn to. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. That verse is taken out of a passage where, when Jesus was around the time of Jesus' resurrection. So the angels are coming and going, doing the Lord's will, which is pretty cool. There's more we could talk about angels, but I'll leave it at that. Next point is that Jesus is preparing a place for believers in heaven. I'm going to read a passage, John 14, verses 2 to 3, where Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm, or would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And so God's preparing a place for us, and I'm sure whatever God prepares for you, you're going to find absolutely spectacular. This is sometimes something that I speculate about. I wonder what my place is going to be like. I know God knows each and every one of our personalities so well. He knows our likes and dislikes. I know one thing I really like to do is I like to take showers, nice hot showers. And so I bet you, I wonder if God's going to have this really nice shower for me in heaven. there's someone else who really likes to garden. Maybe you'll have an awesome garden in heaven or whatever. It's fun to speculate, but whatever God prepares for you, it's going to be absolutely awesome. Next, I want to share that is, next point is, heaven will be a place where believers live for eternity. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "And so we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever." Have you ever thought about how long forever is? It's a long time. Next, heaven will be a place where believers dwell with God for eternity. This sounds like it's the same point, but it's not. Heaven will be a place where believers dwell with God for eternity. In other words, we're not just going to be hanging out in heaven on our own. Without God, we're going to be with God. Jesus said in John 20:17, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The truth is that God has always desired fellowship with us. He's always desired to be with us, to have a relationship with us. And this is going to take place face-to-face in heaven, which is obviously an exciting thing. Next point is that believers are to prepare for heaven. Matthew 6:9-20 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And so I think the most important thing we can do in this life is to focus our energies on having the greatest impact on eternity as possible. And so the question we need to ask today, do you spend more time thinking about building your business, building your net worth, saving for retirement, or do you spend more time storing up treasures in heaven? And Jesus would say, you'd better be doing the latter. You better be focusing your attention on storing up treasures in heaven. Next point is this: heaven is the presence of the Lord. This is very important point for me. And let me read the scripture text, Revelation 21:3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" The truth is, any blessing or good thing we receive in heaven is because God's presence dwells in heaven. The thing about heaven is we shouldn't just be excited about going to heaven because it's a wonderful place. We should be excited to go to heaven because we're going to be in the presence of God. The presence of God is what makes heaven heaven. And that is probably one of the most important truths, that heaven is full of the presence of God. Next, we will have perfect knowledge and see and know God in a direct way. will have perfect knowledge and see and know God in a direct way. This is interesting. I want to read to you a passage from 1 Corinthians 13, 9 to 12. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I was talking to my kids this past week about heaven. And whenever I talk to my kids about spiritual things, I'm always interested in the questions they ask. They always ask very interesting questions, sometimes silly, sometimes cute, but sometimes very important, profound questions. And so we're talking about heaven this past week, and I wish I had recorded this conversation, but some of the questions my daughter Sierra asked, she said, Daddy, are we going to be able to see God, or is he going to be behind a cloud? And I said, no, you're going to be able to see him directly. And then she says, will I be able to go up to him and give him a hug? And as she asked that, she tackled me and gave me a hug. And I said, yeah, you'll be able to give him a hug. A pretty cool thing that in heaven, we're going to be able to see God and know God in a very direct way. Super cool. Next, evil is removed from heaven. Revelation 21:4. It says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Furthermore, the tempter Satan will be gone. Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here's an important question that goes along with this point. Are you able to sin in heaven? I've asked this question myself. Maybe you have. Maybe others have. Can you sin in heaven? Well, the truth is, I think the answer is no, because sin has been removed. Evil has been removed. Satan has been removed and dealt with and done. And by God's grace, we're going to be living perfect lives that please him because of God's grace in our life. Next fact about heaven. Heaven will be a place of great glory. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Heaven's going to be a place of immense size, brilliant light. And Erickson says this, it's going to be a place of unimaginable splendor, greatness, excellence, and beauty. It's going to be awesome. Revelation 21 describes a new Jerusalem being made of from pure gold and decorated with all kinds of precious jewels. It says even the streets are going to be paved with gold. And I bet you whatever gemologists get into heaven, I bet you that they're going to be blown away at what they see. I mean, some of these gemologists try to evaluate, put values on certain gems and costly gems here in our world. And I bet you they're going to have a hard time calculating the value of what they see in heaven. I remember when I went to buy my wife's engagement ring, we had a gemologist I was working with, and he assessed the ring for $2,000. I got a steal for $1,000. And the thing is, he was just so passionate about this little tiny, tiny, tiny rock, this diamond. And sometimes when you look at your engagement rings, you almost need a magnifying glass to look at the diamond. And you sometimes need to squint if you don't have one. And we spend thousands of dollars on these tiny, tiny rocks. Well, in heaven, there's multiple layers of walls that are made of these precious gems and diamonds and rubies and who knows, things I've never even heard of before. It's going to be mind-boggling. I think we're going to be standing at the gate of heaven, in heaven, wherever we're at, where our mouths are just going to drop in awe of the majesty and the glory and the riches in heaven. In fact, heaven's going to be far greater than anything we've ever experienced. It'll be so bright from God's glory that we won't need the sun, the moon, and the stars. Revelation 22:5 says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Next, there will be rest in heaven. Revelation 4:11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And when we talk about rest, we're not talking about this whole idea of us simply just lying on a beach for the rest of our lives, doing nothing, soaking in the sun. I believe there's going to be work and responsibilities. But the kind of rest we're talking about here is this rest that represents the fact that we have completed our journey. It's the end of the struggle against flesh, the world, the devil, and its opposing forces. And so if you are ever in a season of stress in your life, of turmoil, difficult decisions, failing health, whatever, remember that there is a final resting place for us as believers. And there will be rest in heaven. Next, there will be worship in heaven. I remember as a young teen, I went to my first, I think it was my first conference with my dad, and it was a Promise Keepers conference. And I don't remember anything about that conference at all. I just remember guys were teaching and stuff, and there's a bunch of guys in a stadium, which was cool. But there's one memory I have of that event that was really, really impactful for me. I remember at one point I was on the floor, and we were in a stadium full of men, and we all stood up and we sang a song of praise to God. And it was thunderous. It was amazing for me. That's the only memory I have of this event as a young teen. I was maybe even a child, I don't know. But heaven is going to be so much greater. I love the way that Revelation describes heaven, the worship in heaven. It says this in Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder." He's explaining that worship is going to be like loud peals of thunder. "Shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory.'" Sorry, Steve, wherever you are, you do an awesome job leading worship. I love it. But heaven's going to rock so much more. And you know what, to be honest, I think I might be out of a job too. I'm not sure if they need pastors anymore in heaven. But who knows what I'll be doing. Anyways, there will be worship in heaven, and it's going to absolutely rock. There will be service in heaven. Just want to reference a few passages. Romans 8 says that we are co-heirs with Christ. That's mind-blowing in itself. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 19 that they will play a part in judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 1 Corinthians 6:3 says that we will judge angels. Don't know what that's going to look like, but we have a part in doing that. The parable of the talents or bags of gold in Matthew 25. In that parable, it appears that the reward for faithful work will be more work in heaven. One verse I want to read to you, Matthew 25:23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In addition, in Revelation 22:3, it says that his servants will serve him and worship him. And so again, we don't know the specifics. We don't know specifically what service is going to look like in heaven, but it's safe to say that we will have some sort of service and responsibility in heaven. And for me, this is another point of speculation for me. I often wonder, what in the world is God going to have me do in heaven? Have you ever wondered that yourself? And actually, if you're part of a care group, this would be a great, fun, speculative care group question. What in the world do you think God is going to have you do in heaven? I have this hunch that God has created us. He knows us so well. He knows our personality. He knows our passions. He knows our giftings. I think God is going to have an awesome job for you that lines up with your passions and giftings in heaven. And because that's the case, you're just going to love it so much. Again, I'm just speculating. I have no idea exactly how it's going to work out. That's just my hunch. But I'm just excited about what God has for me what he's going to have me do in heaven. Maybe I'll make pizzas or something. I don't know. Next, there will be degrees of reward in heaven. There will be degrees of reward in heaven. Now, I've already referenced the parable of the talents, where we see that God is going to reward people according to their faithfulness. In addition, we read in 1 Corinthians 3:14 and 15, it says, "If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." This past week, I started to read a book called Your Eternal Reward, Truth and Triumph, Triumph and Tears, at the Judgment Seat of Christ by Erwin W. Lutzer. And he highlights the fact that when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account for everything we've done in this life. And as I'm reading it, I'm actually getting a little scared, but in a good way. We're going to have to give account for everything we've done in our life. There's no hiding from God. And we're going to be rewarded accordingly. Now, we shouldn't be freaked out and afraid, but we should have a healthy respect for God. Knowing this, that we're going to have to give an account for everything we've done, that we're going to be rewarded accordingly, it should motivate us to be living faithful and godly lives rather than selfish and carnal lives. Because you can still give your life to the Lord as a Christian. You can still give your life to the Lord, but then go off and still live a selfish life. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to live a faithful, holy, and godly life that pleases him, so that we can be rewarded appropriately in heaven. That's a whole other exciting topic that's worth looking into, which I'm doing right now by reading this book. Next, you will be perfected in heaven. This is hard for me to grasp, but it appears to be the case. You are going to be perfected in heaven. Speaking of heaven, Hebrews 12:23 says, "You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." It's hard for me to grasp because I'm a sinful person, and it's probably hard for all of us to grasp because we are all sinful right now. But the truth is, through the blood of Christ, he will make us perfect. I need to clarify that we're not made perfect because of anything we have done, because of anything we've achieved by ourselves. It's only through the blood of Christ and the grace of God that makes us perfect and clean. A couple more points. The next one is that you will be in a physical, glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." Skipping over to 49. "And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man." So we're going to be in an actual physical glorified body. We're not going to be floating around like ghosts. We're going to be an actual physical glorified body. And the last point is more of a summary. Heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be unlike anything we have ever experienced. I want to read to you out of the NLT, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." If we just think about that verse for a second, we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. We can dream about it. We can draw pictures. We can think and try to imagine what it's going to be like. But even heaven is going to be greater than what we can even fathom or imagine. It's greater than anything we've ever seen or heard. I'm excited about heaven, and I trust you are too. And the truth is, I think that it's such an amazing place, we all should want to go there. And I hope you do as well. Anyways, there are more facts we can probably talk about when we talk about heaven, but these are the main ones I wanted to share with you today. So let's move on to the second section of our message, which is, how do we get there? How do you get into heaven? Well, first, let me talk about who is not going to heaven. And these items might surprise you. Who is not going to heaven? Okay, first of all, good people are not going to heaven. You say, what, Pastor Ryan? Are you strange? Do you have that wrong? No, the Bible says that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. If some people think, hey, if I've done more good than bad in my life, then hey, maybe God will let me into heaven. It's not the way it works. If you've sinned once in your life, which every person has, as we talked about last week, you have sinned, and sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. No one is good, the Bible says. All have done wrong. Good people don't go to heaven. Or people who think they're more good than bad don't go to heaven. Second, well-intended people do not go to heaven. Why? Well, God doesn't just judge our intentions or our motivations, but he judges our actions as well. You can have the best of intentions all your life, but that's not going to get you into heaven. Next, people who go to church aren't going to heaven necessarily. Why? Well, you can attend church all your life, but it doesn't mean you surrendered your life to God. It doesn't mean you've had a heart change. It doesn't mean you've put your faith in Jesus. So good, well-intended people who go to church aren't going to heaven. Okay, who else is on the list here? We're on number four here. People who are religious don't go to heaven. What do you mean by that, Pastor Ryan? Well, let me explain to you. Well, the Pharisees were some of the most religious people on the planet, and Jesus blasted them for their hypocrisy. They were devout religious people. So it's not good enough to be religious, a devout religious person, to get into heaven. And lastly, people who simply believe in a higher power or multitude of gods or just generally believe in God, that's not enough as well to get into heaven. The Bible says even Satan and demons believe in God, and that's not good enough. In fact, they shudder. So let me summarize. Well-intended, good religious people who attend church and believe in a higher power are not going to heaven. That might seem strange to you. So you might be asking, okay, well, how in the world does anybody get into heaven then? Where the rubber meets the road is what you do with the person of Jesus. And I want to read to you a passage which most people probably know, because people wave these signs at sporting events and various places, John 3:16. And I want to read to you a couple of verses after that verse. So John 3:16 to 18. This is God's salvation plan. This is how you get to heaven, so to speak. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In addition, speaking of Jesus, Acts 4:12 says this. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So the Bible teaches that God sent his Son into the world, to save you and me. In addition, the Bible says Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. There is no other way. Doesn't matter how good you are, how well-intended you are, doesn't matter how many times you've attended church, the only way to get into heaven is to accept Jesus and what he did for you on the cross and believing in his resurrection. So let me summarize it in a different way. How do I get to heaven? Well, first of all, you need to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's perfect standard. Even if you've sinned once, you are guilty, which we all have. But most of us would probably readily admit that we have sinned a lot more than once in our life. So acknowledge that you have fallen short and repent and ask God for forgiveness. Number two, express your belief that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave. Number three, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you commit to living a life of commitment to God. And that's it. And if the Bible says if you believe these things and confess them with your mouth, you will be saved. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to invite you to make a decision today. The Bible says that we need to make a decision either way. We can't sit on the fence. It's either, yes, God, I received this gift that you've given me, or no, God, no thanks. I don't want it. It's that simple. And so today I'm going to invite you to make a decision. And if you would like to make this decision to put your faith in Jesus and secure a place for yourself in heaven, you can repeat a prayer after me. And I'm just simply going to get you to repeat this prayer in the quietness of your heart in the pews where you're seated right now. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to encourage you to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you would like to make a decision to put your faith in Jesus, I'm just going to encourage you to repeat after me. God, I come before you today, and I acknowledge that I've fallen short of your perfect standard. I have sinned against you. I'm so sorry, Lord. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I believe that you rose from the dead 3 days later. Thank you for securing a place for me in heaven. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Guide and direct me to live for you and follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. And I'm just going to close in prayer as the worship team makes themselves come back. Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us the opportunity to spend eternity with you because of what your son Jesus did for us on the cross. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every single believer in this room, whether we are brand new Christians or we've been walking with you for some time. May our discussion of heaven spur us on to holy living and faithful service for you. Amen.